73, Psalms chapter 73. There's, like with many things in the Word of God, many passages of Scripture that I really love and that really have helped me throughout the years, but not many more than Psalms chapter 73. It'd definitely be up there in the top 10 Psalms for me. Necessary information and wisdom for us. It's easy for us to get things out of perspective. It's easy for us to start viewing ourselves and the world around us, and we see this in Psalm 73. We'll start reading in the first verse. Read down, probably read the chapter, and we'll start in verse number 1, Psalms chapter 73. You there tonight? Bible says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, till I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Let's pray. Lord, tonight, once again, we are thankful and grateful to be in your house. Thankful for these our people that have come to hear your word. Pray tonight, Lord, that you'll help us, that you'll give us something. You'll get us, Lord, help us to gain the right perspective again if we've lost it. And I pray, Lord, tonight that this message that you put on our heart would be for somebody. If nobody else, it's for me. And I just pray you'd help us tonight. Bind the powers of Satan. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit, we pray, in Christ Jesus' name. In our passage tonight, the psalmist is looking back over the period of time in his life. In fact, it was a very troubling time in his life. It was a time where some things had happened in his life that caused him to begin to look around. And as he looks around while in his trial and in his hardship, his vision is blurred by the situation he finds himself in. And it seems in his mind that the wicked are prospering while the saints are suffering. It seems to him that the rich get richer and the poor gets poorer. It seems to him that it's nothing but bad, bad, and worse for the godly, and it's nothing but good, good, good for the ungodly. And in his assessment of what seems to be an unfair advantage for the wicked, the psalmist in his mind begins to question God. And in his mind, he asks the same question that every single person in this building has asked at one time or another. You've served God very long. You've asked this question, and it's the question, why do bad things happen to good people? No doubt many of us have had that question. We've wondered, why does the righteous suffer while the wicked prosper? Why does it seem many times that Christians struggle to get by financially, struggle to pay their bills, struggle to put food on the table, struggle to raise a family and make ends meet, struggle in other areas of their life while the wicked are living lavishly, never come to church, never give their tithe, never give any money to missions, don't care anything about God, yet it seems that they have it all. We've wondered, why is it that bad things happen to good people? There's a husband who was coming out of anesthesia after a series of tests in the hospital. His wife was sitting at his bedside when his eyes fluttered open. He said to her, "Wow," said, "you're beautiful." Well, his wife was very flattered, and the wife continued her vigil. And later he woke up again and looked at it, and he said to her, "Wow," said, "you're cute." She said, "Wait a minute." She said, "Well, what happened to beautiful?" He said, "The drugs are wearing off." You see, the fact of the matter is, it's all in how we see things. I want to preach tonight for the next few moments on this thought, getting a right perspective. Getting a right perspective. I want you to notice as we look at this passage tonight, a few things. The first thing I want you to notice as we look at it is the truth about God. The truth about God. Look with me at verse number 1. The Bible says, truly, God is good. Now here in this passage, the psalmist is giving his testimony. And remember, he's looking back at a time of struggle that he had earlier in his life. He's looking back at a time when he almost slipped and almost fell into temptation and into thinking that this world had something to offer that he was missing out on. And now after it's all over, he's given us the testimony of it. And it's amazing. He gives us the conclusion first. And after it's all said and done, when he now has the right perspective again, he starts out and he says, truly, God. And friends, I don't know tonight what you may be going through. I don't know what you may be dealing with. I don't know what battle you may be facing. I don't know what trial or tribulation or troubles that you might be having. I don't know what storm that you might be weathering. I don't know what that big thing is that might be evident in your life. But this one thing I'm here to tell you, and I know, no matter what it may look like or seem like or taste like or smell like, truly God is good. And many times we get looking at things around us and begin to maybe think otherwise. You understand, the very foundation of our faith is that God is good. You understand that? The Bible says that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. The very foundation of our faith. Listen, the reason that I came to God and the reason that you came to God is because, by and large, we believe that God had our best interest in mind. Amen? I mean, that's why we come to the Lord. And so, the very foundation of our faith rests upon the fact that God is good. We love Him because we know He first loved us. Foundation of our faith rests upon that very fact. That's why it was the goodness of God that Satan convinced Adam and Eve to doubt. You understand, Satan convinced Adam and Eve to doubt the goodness of God, and Satan convinced them that, listen, maybe God's really not out for your best interest. He convinced them God's holding out on you. He knows in the day you eat of the tree that you'll be like Him and you'll be as other gods. Satan did is he used that to that if you eat of that fruit, you'll be just like him. In other words, he said, God is holding out on you. And you don't know something? They begin to doubt God's character. And Adam and Eve begin to look around. They begin to think, man, maybe God's not really all that good. And they begin, you know, one of the things amazing to me, something I found out, you know, God had given them all them trees and everything. You could eat anything in the garden except that one tree. And something I found out about people that's getting something for free. God gives us all this stuff. They want something else. Well, we're such an ungrateful people, aren't we? But Adam and Eve, God said, listen, you can eat any of it. And they said, maybe God's not that good. God's holding out on us. Maybe He's not really out for our best interest. Maybe He's not really on our side. Maybe He doesn't really want what's best for us. Just like the psalmist in this passage of Scripture, they begin to doubt the character and the goodness of God. And I've told you before, I want to tell you again, because you need to remember this and never forget it. If you ever come to a place in your life where you begin to doubt the goodness of God, if you ever come to a place in your life where you begin to doubt the character of God, can I tell you tonight, all you need to do is look at Calvary. If you ever get to a place where you wonder, does God have my best interest in mind? Does God really love me? Does God really care about me? All you got to do is look at Calvary, where he who knew no sin became sin for us. All you got to do is go back down there and walk with him down the Via Della Rosa as he's walking down that road all beaten and bloodied and bruised and been through already hell there through the trials and everything else. And if you ever doubt the character of God, just look at him at the cross. The Bible says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. You want to see the character of God? Just look at Calvary. He endured the cross, despised the shame, sat down the right hand of the throne on high. You know why he did it? He did it for you. He did it for me. It was at Calvary where you see the love of God manifested like never before. It was at Calvary where you see God's unmerited favor, his grace, like never before. It's at Calvary where you see God's character magnified like never before. And it's at Calvary where you see the power of God's love like never before. Friend, when things happen that we don't understand, when circumstances arise in our life and we wonder, why has this happened to me? We must never give in to what we do not know, but instead cling to what we do know. And this we know, truly, truly, truly God is good. We know that truly God is good. Not only the truth about God, I want you to notice secondly the temptation of God's people. Notice with me verse number 2 and 3. He's giving his testimony here. He's looking back at a time in his life. He says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He's now come to his senses and he realizes, no matter what it may seem like, look like, taste like, smell like, and now that he recognizes the truth, you can almost sense the fear in his voice as he realizes that this temptation, this envy for the world and the things of the world and all that the world had almost caused him to slip and fall, almost caused him to turn his back on the Lord and turn back to the world, almost made him believe that they actually had the answer. Notice verse 3, says, I was envious when I saw the prosperity. Can I say this? There's a tendency in all of us to always view the grass greener on the other side, especially in times of trouble. Especially when you're going through a hard time. Especially when things don't go right. And we look out there and it looks like, man, everything's perfect in their life. I just want to say, things are seldom what they seem. But it's always easy to view the grass greener on the other side. And we do that too often times. There's so many broken homes that we've seen because of that. There's so many broken marriages we've experienced and seen because of that. There's so many kids' lives that's been uprooted and destroyed because somebody viewed the grass greener on the other side. I got word a few weeks ago that a certain missionary family who I really loved and appreciated, it's not some people we support, but anyway, they had a tragedy in their life several years ago, and in that tragedy, they ended up losing a child. They're on their deputation, and they're going down the road, just leaving like 6-7 o'clock in the morning, left out from one church, heading toward another church, and as they head off down the road, there's some black ice on the road, and in their minivan, it begins to go into a tailspin, and by the time that wreck, that accident was over, the father was standing there holding his 2-year-old daughter lifeless in his arms. We wept with them and prayed for them, and a tragic time, and it was just a young married couple up on deputation as missionaries, and it seemed like that they had held God's hand through it, and they had got through, and everything seemed to be going okay. Some little time down the road, God gave them another daughter, and I had heard several months ago that one of the things that happened, that not only was that father holding his daughter lifeless, but the mother also had gotten mangled up in the wreck, and she was in the hospital for several weeks, and I think ICU at first, and then got better. And while in there, witnessed to some folks, had some nurses saved and everything else. Really seemed like they were just going to hold on to the Lord all the way through it. They'd been out, got through deputation, got out on the mission field. And some time ago, I heard that the lady, the mama, had kind of gone into somewhat of rebellion. She got a nose ring, some other things. You know, there were some warning signs. It's a few weeks ago, I found out she walked off from her husband, walked off from her baby. I'm going to tell you why. And we look out there and think, well, I tell you what, God, if God loved me, I mean, we're out here trying to serve Him, and surely God wouldn't let something like this happen to me. I just want to tell you tonight, listen, well, no matter what you ever think or what Satan tries to tell you, it does pay to serve God. I've seen it too often times when people get the wrong perspective in other relationships, and instead of following what they know to be right, they go off and jump the fence. There's a reason the Bible tells us as Christians to walk by faith and not by sight. Because I want to tell you something. Every single one of us one day will find ourselves in a situation where nothing in our life makes sense. Nothing in our life seems good or seems right. Yet everything out there seems to be much better. Everything out there seems to have a lot more going than what we have going in our life. And that's just where somebody's got to have enough faith about them where they'll say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Praise God, I know whom I believe. I know where my faith is. Somebody's got to say, I know my situation looks bad, but I serve a God that works all things together for good. I think I'm just going to stick with Him. I think I'm just going to stay with Him. I think I'm just going to keep my eyes on Him and trust what I know to be good instead of what seems to be good. I told you this morning, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I've watched church members go off down the road, some minuscule problem, you know, year or two. They're miserable. What happens, they get to the other church and they figure out that it's full of a bunch of sinners just like church they left. In her column, Ask Marilyn. Marilyn Vos Savant gave an interesting perspective on contentment. One reader wrote in about a unique experiment she had conducted after being dissatisfied that her neighbor's yard looked better than her own. She did what few have done and walked next door to look back at her own grass. When she stood in her neighbor's yard, the grass in her own yard now looked greener than theirs. So she asked, why does this happen? Marilyn replied, the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence because you're not close enough to see the dirt. Most of the time, things look better for others simply because we can't see their dirt. I was talking with someone some time ago and just about some possible opportunities down the road and different things. And I said, I tell you, the thing about it is what happens. I said, you know, we try to live right, do right, and, you know, do everything right. But I said, some people can handle being in on the inside. Some people can't in the ministry, in the church, or in any ministry. I said, the thing about it is what happens. Some people get in and they see the warts on the hog. And that's what happens so many times in our life is that we maybe hold people up too high or hold ministries up too high or hold whatever it is, and we get our perspective wrong, and then whenever we see the true colors or whenever we see something that we don't think is exactly right. I'm talking about the trials and temptations of God's people. As hard as they sometimes are, we shouldn't run from trials. But instead, we should run to God in our trials. It's easy to serve God on the mountaintop. It really is. I mean, this is easy preaching. And it's easy to serve God on the mountaintop. I mean, let's face it, who doesn't like mountaintop experiences? I mean, that's easy. Nothing hard about that. But I learned a long time ago, listen, class is not in session on the mountain. Class only happens in the valley, and Jesus only teaches us through the valley time. You don't learn anything on the mountaintop. Every trial you face, you can choose to do right. We can choose to start doing wrong. We can choose to let that trial make us better, or we can choose to let that trial make us bitter. Notice with me verse 3 through 13. You can hear the bitterness in the psalmist's voice as we read down through the chapter. He says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Boy, he's got his perspective all messed up, don't he? I mean, nothing ever happens to them. They've got a perfect life, an easy way. It's always easier looking in somebody else's shoes, doesn't it? because you don't walk in their shoes. He says there's no prosperity of the weak. Says there's no bands in their death. It's a peaceful thing. Doesn't even bother them when they die. They're not afraid of hell. They're not. Verse 6. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They're corrupt and speak wickedly. You see his jealousy and his envy of the world? Speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, listen to what it says about God's people. His people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. We just keep wringing us and squeezing us. Lord, when's it going to end? They said, boy, they don't have any problems. Verse 11, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? God doesn't know about our wickedness. God's not paying us any attention. He doesn't care that we're doing ungodly deeds. God's not going to judge them. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Look at verse 13. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. In other words, I've done right for nothing. I've served God for nothing. Fact of the matter is tonight, you can let a trial make you bitter. Something we need to remember. I talked with somebody, this was years ago. I was sitting in Knoxville. I was talking with a guy. And we was talking about the Lord and some things. And with this very subject come up, why does bad things happen to good people and all that. And I remember, as we talked there, I said, look, one thing that you're missing is this is all they're ever going to have. Do you understand? This is as bad as it'll ever get for us. Huh? You see, we got the wrong perspective, friend. The Bible says, count it all joy. Falling in diverse, if you will. Diverse, but it's diverse what it means. Different temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. In other words, God's teaching you something. God's showing us something. Don't get angry at God or turn from God. I'm amazed as I think sometimes how that the same sun, think about this, the same sun in the sky that melts the butter is the same sun that hardens the clay. The thing that determines it's the substance, your heart, whether it's soft or hard. Whether or not it's going to be bitter, whether or not it's going to become better. Not only the temptation of God's people, I want you to notice tonight, lastly, the tabernacle gives perception. Look with me at verse 16 and 17. In verse 15, he says, if I say I will speak thus, watch this. He wants to say more. Behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. He says, I want to say more. How many of you, just being honest tonight, don't raise your hand, but how many of you ever been in a situation where, you honestly was angry at God? You was at a place where you just didn't really feel good toward God and toward the things of God, and you wanted to say more than you did, but you didn't want to discourage one of your children. You didn't want to discourage somebody else's children or some other child in the faith. He says, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. I'm just going to shut up. Verse 16, watch what he says. The tabernacle gives perception. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Couldn't stand it. It was eating at him. Until, this is the key verse, I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. Then understood I therein. The tabernacle of God gives perception. How important it is, friend, to remain faithful to the house of God in times of trials and testings. I want to tell you, so many people, that's when, I've got this going on, I don't feel like going, listen, there's no better place that you could ever be in times of trials, in times of heartache, in times of trouble, in times of storms, in times of weariness. There's no better place that you can go than the house of God. He said, then I understood I therein. You see, it's in the house of God, listening to the preaching of the Word of God, where you realize, though the wicked may seem to prosper for now, it won't last forever. It won't last forever. It's in the tabernacle of God where we're reminded the things that happen in this life aren't near as important as the things that God has prepared for us in the next life. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The wicked's end is an eternal lake of fire. God's people don't have an end. They're eternally in His presence. It's in the house of God where you learn the wicked may have treasure laid up in this life that'll one day fade away, but God's people are promised treasure that'll never fade away. How encouraging it is in your darkest hour, in my darkest hour, to walk in the house of God and be reminded who we are in Christ, all we own by Christ, and all we're promised from Christ. Hey, friend, the best place you could go after a discouraging week is the house of God. Well, they start singing, Brother Jim, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will, right? Count your blessings. Then it starts, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Love lifted me. You can't do that, not smile. You know? Love lifted me. You can't listen to me sing it, not smile either. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hey, friend, there's no better place to be than God's house. You realize before it's over, you're not the one that should be discouraged. Worst thing ever happened to us, we die and go to heaven. I want to give you in closing just quickly four things that the psalmist was encouraged by when he went into the sanctuary of the Lord. Notice with me first, verse 23. He was encouraged by God's presence. Look what he says. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. He was encouraged by God's presence. We all have storms. The difference in us and that crowd is, listen, he's promised to walk with us through our storms. I mean, no matter how far we ever get, no matter how bad it ever gets, no matter how many people we lose in this life, never alone, we're never alone, right? Praise God. Listen, we'll never, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He was encouraged by God's presence. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Look with me also. He was encouraged by the grasp of God's hand. Verse 23 again, he says, thou hast holden me by, man, this is good. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. A right hand signifies power. And thank God, watch this, that it's him who's holding me. He's the one that reached down there in that pit and drug you up out of it and drug me up out of it. And thank God it's not up to me to keep it. Thank God the Bible tells us that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Jude tells us, unto him who's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before God. You understand? If God, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Should God let go, every one of us would drop off into hell. But he said he'll never let go, and he's upholding you and I. He says he's holding me by my right hand. I'm glad he's the one holding us. Not only that, he's encouraged by the guidance of God's counsel. Look at verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. This world has no idea about a whole lot of what goes on in this world. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They can't, their foolishness unto them, because they're spiritually discerned. They can't understand them. God has, he guides us by his counsel. We get counsel from God's word. You and I can, as believers, can look in God's word, and he leads us and guides us. We get counsel from God's man. I believe God's message should flow from the heart of God to the heart of the preacher, to the heart of the church. He guides me, he said, by his counsel. You know what I'm glad about? I'm glad God didn't just save me and then say, buddy, you get to heaven, you do what you know, live your best way you can, do whatever, figure it out. Thank God he gave us counsel. Our rule book for faith and practice. And then notice also, he was encouraged by God's promise of glory. We sung about it tonight. They sung about it, the midnight cry. Look at verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me. Well, when we have the right perspective, though we sometimes have to be reminded of all the blessings we have in Christ, when we're seeing clear and our view is not distorted by trials, not distorted by troubles, not distorted by the world, not distorted by the devices Satan tries to throw up there and show us that this is really what you need, this will help you. The only thing we can possibly say is truly, truly. The psalmist said this over in Psalms 27, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, if I didn't believe God was good, what more could we ask for tonight than to know. It says he's encouraged by his presence. What more can we ask for than to know God's with us, that God's hand is upon us, that his counsel is there for us, and that heaven awaits us when we get our perspective off and we look out here and we see people who don't do right, don't live right, don't act right, don't talk right. It seems they've got it a whole lot better than we have. We need to go back to the house of God. We need to get in the Word of God. We need to listen to the preaching for the man of God. God is good. And I want to say tonight, no matter what you may see right, you see, sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. And sometimes, buddy, we get off on our perspective. And truly, it's so easy. And I mean, the devil, he knows where to get us. He hits us at our weakest point. You think about Jesus come out of that, fasting time of 40-day fasting. What'd he do? He says, turn this into bread. He knows to hit us at our weakest point. In those times where everything around you, everything may look bad, may look like, man, this isn't the way, and the Christian life isn't for me, and whatever, I want to finish well. But if we don't have the right perspective, walk by faith. He told us that because he knew we're going to be looking around one day. What God tells us in his word, maybe at that time, that makes everything that's going on in our life. We say, Lord, I've served you all these years. I've done this, and I've been there, and I've surrendered. We ain't surrendered anything for the Lord, really. I mean, all of us are more blessed than 90% of the people in the world. But we talk about what we've surrendered. But in our mind, we say, Lord, I've surrendered this, and I've done this, and I've given up this, and I've sacrificed here. And Lord, look at me now. It does pay to serve God. Amen. Let's stand for prayer tonight. Maybe somebody said, I don't know who needed this other than me. But I tell you what, it's easy to get our perspective off. Easy to start looking out there and, boy, like the beer commercial show you all the mountains with glaciers and the sweat dripping from the glass bottle. You know, it's about 100 degrees outside and you'd drink about anything, Get over the toilet. Emergency room, alcohol poison. It's all about how you see it while we sing tonight. It's all about how you see it while we sing tonight.